There's a film in that. There's a film in that. There's a film in that. There's a film in that.
There's a film in that.
I think there's a film in that.
I think you're talking about, I think there's a film in that.
I saw something in the news and there's a film in that.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us for the very first episode of There's a Film in That.
Yeah.
There's a film in that?
You know there's a film in that.
I think there's...
Yeah. I think you were saying the other day, I was thinking about it. I reckon
there's a
film in that.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, there's a film in that.
In which we are attempting to create what we believe to be the first ever podcast-written feature film.
The plan over the next however many weeks we're doing this is for you to follow us, come up with a film idea, which we'll write the synopsis for, we'll create characters, drama, emotion, conflict, etc., and all that jazz.
We'll be doing a fair bit of improvising to help us create some scenes and characters and dialogue, along with rewriting certain sections that go along that aren't working, and looking back at our original idea and trying to make the whole thing flow, and basically the entire process that any script writer would go through in creating a full-length feature film.
We won't be writing on air, just to stop those of you who are already considering taking off your headphones.
I'm off.
Cheers. But we will be making all the main decisions here on the podcast, and then going away with homework and writing to do ahead of the next episode.
No one told me about homework.
Yeah, I'm done.
Yeah. But from this process, we are hopeful that we'll somehow manage to cobble together an entire script. And then at the end of the series, I will be getting a load of actors in to do a live read-through on air. So if you have managed to enjoy the entire journey with us, you can listen to a completed script.
So along the way, we're also getting in some experts to help us out with different parts of the process, or at least people who claim to be experts. And hopefully this is not only going to be helpful for us, but also hopefully informative for any of you listening in who would like to embark on your own script writing journey. And if it helps, you can even write along with us, although we fully expect you'll accelerate past us and have your script finished and signed while we're still coming up with characters.
Just to give a full disclaimer, at times this will be an incredibly stressful and frustrating process for all of us, and you may find yourself constantly disappointed with the story choices that we make.
But I already am.
Yeah.
I'm super disappointed.
But it will also hopefully be a bit of fun, and we might even be able to create something that you can all ignore on Netflix one day.
Or Hulu.
Yeah. Or Hulu.
Yeah.
So, when I say we, who do I mean? There are three of us. There are three of us here for the podcast, and the first of whom is, what is your name?
It is Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
Hi.
Ryan, where are you from?
Well, originally I grew up in Portsmouth, but now I live in Londinium.
And is it good here?
Yeah, it's very nice.
We are in London.
We are, so
live from London.
Bad mouth here.
Not live, but, I mean, we're alive.
Yeah.
And Ryan, what is it that you do?
I am an actor and a writer.
Oh, very nice.
Mm. Yeah.
Ryan, what's your favourite film?
Ooh, interesting question. I think my favourite film is Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, I do like that film.
Classic.
Yeah. It's a win-win chicken din.
Yeah.
Favourite characters, Salah.
Yeah.
I liked him. Jonathan Rhys-Davies, he was good.
Yeah, he was good, wasn't he?
He was.
Ah.
You know, he gets scared. But yeah,
we've already lost the visual.
Yeah, it's that bit when he sees that scary bit in, you know, when he gets the arc and he gets scared.
Nice. Yeah. And Ryan, do you have a favourite film genre?
I do. I am a big fan of like the sci-fi horror genre.
Give me a sci-fi horror genre film.
I quite like The Thing. I think John Carpenter is a bit of a hero.
Dum dum.
Dum dum. And if you mute the beginning of it, it simply looks like a man chasing a dog in a helicopter. it just looks like a documentary. It's weird.
I'm going to do that later on.
What kind of documentaries are you watching?
Man chasing dog.
Man chases dog.
Finnish man helicopter chasing
man chases dog.
Slow TV.
Yeah. Dum dum.
Or fast TV, I suppose. So, Ryan.
Yeah.
What brings you to this glamorous crystal-bathed studio?
Your wine.
Ah, nice.
I'm here because I love the idea and the opportunity to write with two incredibly creative people and come up with a story as well. And yeah, I'm bigging you up, fuck it. All right, I'm here because it's fun and writing's fun and stressful, but more fun. And the idea of coming up with your own idea to me and going, seeing it through is a goal, and I quite like goals.
Oh, I see, I like that answer.
Thanks.
But sorry. I'm done with talking to you.
Fine.
So go. Hi, Tiernan.
Hiya.
What's your name?
Tiernan.
Nice.
Also living in London.
Are you?
But originally a mix of Ipswich and Tipperary. That classic Venn diagram.
That is, isn't it?
Yeah.
So for the listeners at home, would you like to explain exactly how you look?
For anyone wanting a visual to accompany the podcast and my sultry tones, I think Ryan's eager to tell you who I look like.
He looks like Littlefinger.
I look like Littlefinger from Game of Thrones.
Yeah. It's really...
A younger version.
Well...
I did meet Aidan Gillen once in the side of a cinema, and even he stared at me, because I think there was some acknowledgement from him that I did look like him. But
I mean, it is terrifying.
It is.
It really freaks me out.
If you're ever near a moon
especially because you look like Sansa Stark.
I'm so glad you
a bearded Sansa Stark.
I'm not sure
why. Some would say a Ned Stark.
True, that is much more realistic.
Have you got a favourite film, Tiernan?
I do. I'd probably say... No, my favourite film I tend to go to is In Bruges. That's my favourite genre, dark comedy. Big Martin McDonagh fan. But I always then say, if you're going to open it up to TV, I always say The Leftovers, which is my favourite series.
I'm not going to open it up to TV.
Well, then we'll leave it
at
that.
Shut the door on TV.
TV is out.
Yeah. Who watches TV? Yeah.
What even is a TV?
Yeah.
Think of the past now, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, yeah. Leftovers.
And...
Do you work for HBO?
Would you like to explain why you're here, sat in a grotty basement?
Well, see, I'm a struggling writer director, and then
do anything.
Basically anything for a gig, you know. I've done several things that no one's seen, and now I thought, if only I could talk about that, and maybe people would consider watching it.
Yeah, I feel like we're undermining the podcast
slightly. Yeah.
So Ashley,
what is your name?
My name's Ashley.
Oh yeah, where are you from, Ashley?
I was also born in Portsmouth. What a coincidence.
Yeah.
And I too live in London, like most of us, it would seem. Mm. I mean, all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's coincidence in itself, that.
Yeah.
And what do you do here in London, Ashley?
I work in technology, so I'm on the VFX side of film. I currently specialise in VR, software and hardware, and that's what I do. I teach people how to create VR, compelling VR content, and all of the storytelling that's required to go with that.
So it's not just about picking up balloons?
Well, it's 90% picking up balloons,
yeah,
and 5% shooting zombies in the head, and 3% pornography, and 1% maths, and 1% maths.
So it's all about algorithms, really.
Yeah, it's all numbers, isn't it?
Yeah.
Even the pornography.
Yeah, I mean, that's the most maths-related element.
That's the most maths-based. Yeah. Very niche type of pornography you go into.
Yeah, mathematics-based pornography is my I don't know where we've gone here. This
so
is...
nice.
Ashley.
Hi.
What is your favourite film?
My
Genray.
And what?
Genray.
My favourite film is With Nail and I. That's my favourite film. That classic British comedy.
Wow.
But my favourite genre, which counters this, I suppose, is also sci-fi, as I believe the kids call it.
Yeah.
With less horror than you, actually. I scare easily.
And why? Why are you here, apart from it being your house?
Yeah, I live here.
Yeah.
But I was also very excited about getting to work with you guys and hear about the filmmaking process, which kind of segues us to getting into this thing. Should we get into this thing?
We should.
Well, I think before we do that, I think we should say that, just to clear up, like we mentioned, we're getting experts in. We all have a certain level of knowledge, but anyone listening in, what we're about to hear is not the definitive guide. It's us slightly muddling our way through along with it. We have the general idea of what we're doing.
Yeah.
But
do you think
certainly the fact that we're making a podcast,
I mean, that's
is
great.
About trying to write a film would suggest that we still have things to learn and things to pick up along the way. So
yeah,
I think everyone has their own process, but this will be ours.
I think it's safe to say we all have faith in each other's knowledge.
George Michael.
Yeah, we got our faith.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it would be nice.
So one of the things we did ahead of we thought we'd do a bit of basic research about what we're about to embark on.
Yeah.
I think Ashley picked up the first thing. We discovered, actually, there's how many types of story?
We discovered that, according to Christopher Booker, who is an English journalist and author, there are 7 types of film.
Isn't it ironic that his name's Booker and he's an author and a journalist?
I don't think it's ironic at all.
I think he knew what he was going to do from the offset.
Yeah. But Christopher gives us... Shall I read these out?
I think you should, yeah.
Why not? Okay, yeah. So in Christopher's crazy little world, he believes there are 7 types of film, the first of which is the Overcoming the Monster film. And for those of you at home, I'm doing a rabbit-style parentheses to highlight the bold or italicised title, Overcoming the Monster.
Well, explain more what that is.
He explains it by saying that this is the type of story where the protagonist sets out to defeat something that threatens him or her, or a group that they belong to.
Protagonist being lead character, for anyone new time screenwriters.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Protagonist, lead character.
For the
antagonist, the person he comes up against.
Ding! That's the glossary sound.
Jingle's yet to be decided.
Could you give us an example of an Overcoming the Monster film?
Sounds filth when you say it.
Overcoming the Monster film.
Overcoming a Monster.
I think, well, I mean, that's all those classic, actually, like, medieval stories. They're often, you know, fighting a dragon or something like that.
That's, it's all come from truth, then.
Yeah, yeah. Or those old school fairy tales, I think that would cover that.
Just looking on your wall, you got a poster of Star Wars or a picture.
Yeah, there's a monster in that, right?
There is.
Yeah.
So,
Christopher also says there are rags to riches story. I think we've all heard that title. Yeah. But his description of that is that the protagonist, which we now all know.
Good.
Yeah. The protagonist is in some way misfortunate, usually financially. Throughout the story, he or she acquires things such as power, wealth, or a love interest.
Like Scarface.
Yeah, a lot like the film Scarface.
That's rags to riches.
Or Aladdin.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Never thought of it like that. Scarface and Aladdin.
Yeah, same film.
Yeah.
It's the same film. Yeah.
The third of his plots is called The Quest, in which the protagonist sets out to acquire an object or get to a location, facing many obstacles
Lord and Rings.
Temptations along the way. And I think Ryan has got an example of that.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, that's one. There's 4 more, so let's blast through these. So the Voyage and Return plot. So the protagonist goes to a strange land, and after overcoming the threats it poses to him or her, returns with some kind of experience.
Like Sir Francis Drake.
I mean, that literally is what he did, yes.
Moby Dick's kind of...
Yeah, but...
Kind of that. What's the Moby Dick one with Chris Hemsworth? What's that called? Heart of the Ocean.
Why
are
you
bringing
up that film?
No, that's what came to mind. It was that or Moana.
Moana's better than...
Well, I think Moana stays where she went.
Yeah, that's true.
Not sure she goes back.
Or about Inner Space.
Do you know what?
Inner Space.
Lord of the Rings.
And again, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Because he goes home. Well, he doesn't go home either.
Inner Space.
I think it should be Voyage, then Stay, or go somewhere else.
Yeah.
I can't think of many where they return.
Inner space for the 100th time.
Apart from Inner Space, obviously.
Yeah. So, plot 5, comedy. A humorous character faces conflict that becomes more and more confusing.
Derp.
But is at last made plain in a single clarifying event. Can you think of a comedy?
Oh, I think that's a bit narrow.
Reb Schneider is. There's a lot of them, isn't there?
Juice Bigelow. Juice Bigelow 2. Juice Bigelow
the
European. What, I can't remember what is it. European. What's the other Juice Bigelow?
I don't care.
Handmaid's Tale.
Handmaid's Tale. Pretty sure that's not a comedy.
Oh my god. It's my handmaid.
Dark.
What else we got? Superbad. Superbad's always my go-to comedy.
Mm. Yeah?
Coming to
Does
America.
Does the scenario get more and more confusing and then at the end resolve? I'm sure it does.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Well, it escalates, doesn't it? Yeah. They end up losing, you know.
Their friendship is tested, gets more and more confusing, and then they have they fall asleep together.
Okay, there's 2 more. So, tragedies. A little bit like Shakespeare.
Like Shakespeare.
Isn't it?
Yeah, with only comedy and tragedy, wouldn't there? That was the 2 things.
The protagonist,
Chris Booker guy.
Yeah. douchebag. The last one's history. Yeah. The protagonist is a hero who makes a mistake that brings about his or her downfall, evoking sympathy.
That is tough, isn't it?
Well, what's a film that you would consider tragic? Maybe let's approach it like that.
Read it again for me.
So I got one. That Darren Aronofsky one. That ass to ass. What is it?
Yeah, it sounds tragic. Dun, 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 that's science of...
Oh, Requiem of a Dream.
Requiem for a Dream. His downfall was the fact he loves smack. And his mates, they all love smack and they all have drugs. And then like that's starts off and that's the downfall.
Yeah, that's quite a sad film.
That is tragic beyond all belief.
Mm. What other tragedies have we got?
That's it.
Okay, and the last is Rebirth. An important event forces the main character to change his or her ways, often making him or her a better person.
Oh, Wonderful Life.
Oh.
That's pretty much it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I'd argue that goes into a lot of films. Often people have to, you know, change their ways or become the hero they're meant to be.
I mean, Christmas Carol. Being.
Batman.
But yeah,
Batman.
He had to stop letting his parents get killed.
Yeah, every time.
Yeah.
Every film. You have to know about that. Fucking hell.
Yeah. That's all right list, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's quite solid.
It is quite good, isn't it?
No, so I reckon we can hopefully come up with something within that list of seven. Between comedy and monsters and heroes and everything else, I think most films would fall into those seven, so we can surely come up with something that fits generally into that. But the other thing we thought we'd do ahead of writing to try and motivate ourselves and learn a little bit from the masters, we found a few quotes that are from screenwriters and directors and people who we think we admire that might be of help to us. So I'll open the first one. I've got one from Quentin Tarantino, every film school student's favourite director, which was, "I steal from every movie ever made." And, you know, he's famous for putting a lot of references in from other films and everything else, but says a little bit about idea generation, what we're about to go on to do, that I think it's fairly tough to come up with a completely new idea combined with a completely new way of telling it. I think that was the holy grail, but it's a very tough thing to do.
And I think it's very daunting. It's a very daunting idea to try to think that you need to come up with something entirely original and not draw experience from things that you've seen.
In the same side of that, but you know, different part of it, I think it's important that we are identified that when we're talking about something, when it comes to the point where we're talking about story or whatever, that we do go, oh, that I was watching this and this gave me an idea for this. I think that's to explain where ideas come from is important, but I think it's a slippery mountain.
As long as it's not a straight copy and you put your own twist on it, and then it's acceptable, you know. I think every filmmaker has take references or homage or something along the way to other films or other filmmakers.
Well, in fact, Charlie Kaufman says, and I have a quote here, he says, "So when I write characters and situations and relationships, I try to sort of utilise what I know about the world, limited as it is, and what I hear from my friends and see with my relatives."
So, yeah, so, well, I mean, that's an extension of that.
He's great at films, isn't he?
He's great. For those of you who don't know Charlie Kaufman, you should, or Kaufman, however it's pronounced.
Kaufman.
There, he is the writer, creator of Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, being John Malkovich, and I think his most recent one was Annalisa, which was up for Best Oscar.
I've never known how to say that.
Animation. Was it animation? Or I think it was Best Animation. A fantastic film.
It got nommed. Don't think it got it.
We must check that out off air.
Yeah.
So we'll verify next week for
those
of you.
Well prepared.
First cliffhanger. But yeah, he's a very famous writer, great writer. But that's an extension of that, I guess, isn't it, from Tarantino? You also can steal from what's around, not necessarily steal, but take from what's around you.
Well, I think that's the only inspiration we have, isn't it? If I try and take from what's around you, it would be really difficult. I guess when we first thought about doing this, we were kind of thinking that a lot of people say, or a lot of people think they have an idea. You had a good way of putting it. Everyone has an idea.
Well, I think everyone has a story, don't they? That's why when we were talking about Ties, we said there's a film in that, because I think everyone probably has some sort of story they want to tell. A crazy night out, a family story, something that happened to them personally, something that happened to someone they knew. Everyone has something that they think, you know what, one day I'll sit down and write that. And it's, yeah,
So, and we're hoping to try, I mean, as grandiose as it sounds, to try and encourage the process out of people who maybe don't know where to start.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, we have done a bit of preparation, right? So
we have
done
come equipped to the garage.
I'm mildly nervous about this
studio with a few ideas of our own that we're going to share, discuss, critique, enjoy, and everyone's just walking around, which is
everyone's got to find their ideas.
Really good. Of course you can.
So good that we can't remember them.
Yeah. Everyone is just reaching for the nearest DVD to read the synopsis from the book.
It's a great idea. It's about a war in the stars.
That's a reference to Star Wars.
Kirk Dunn.
Kirk's Dunn.
A sad story about a man on a boat.
But before we dive into the ideas themselves, I would like to ask Tiernan and Ryan, the only people in this room, how they approach coming up with new ideas. So where do ideas come from?
I have them in the bath.
Yeah?
Yep.
Do you just store them there?
I store them there. Submerged in my
One in each bubble.
Yep.
Nice.
I do. I'll sit in the bath. And I'll put some music on, and then I'll just allow myself to have a little think.
Nice.
That's think, not anything else.
He doesn't allow himself anything else.
No, I do. No, seriously. Because I think if I've got an idea, I need to be away from distraction. Music I'm okay with, but I need to be away from like distraction a bit. So
because that's quite we've talked about this before, and about how you're happy to listen to music and have maybe outside influence in, whereas Tin and you're a lot more focused and you kind of like to blinker yourself from outside surroundings.
When I write, yeah. I did generate, because I was anticipating that we chat about this. I was trying to think about idea generation. A few things I've written, I've never had a eureka moment. And I think, so I hopefully can talk to the people who've also never had a eureka moment, but just an idea that grows in the back of their mind and slowly takes shape.
Okay.
I'm not one to see something and think, oh, that'd be great. I just suddenly I'll have an idea, and suddenly it'll have been in my head for a while, and then eventually I'll sit down to write it if it's stuck around long enough that I think it's worth pursuing. But actually, when I sit down to write, I can't have anyone around me. If I was, you know, which doesn't bode well for a great podcast, but
Tina's left.
For actually writing, I prefer to be in a room with no music and no distractions and everything else. I know I have plenty of friends who write in coffee shops and things like that. And take inspiration from that. I can't do it at all. I get very distracted very easily.
So like Ryan, is there a particular environment or situation that puts you in a more perceptive place for new idea generation?
No, actually, I'm one of those people, again, who actually just has to sit down and work it through. Notepad.
I mean, that's very dull, isn't it?
It is very dull. Really dull. But I just have to sit down with a notepad and talk it through with myself or, you know, someone I trust and just try and flesh it out a bit.
Have you ever considered using a dictaphone?
I have. I had another friend who used to he used to keep his writing to a minimum. And what he'd do is he'd go for a walk and talk into his phone and record it all for an hour walk. So actually, when he got round to writing, it was actually just the writing process, no ideas, no nothing. He'd do that all separately. But again, I don't know. I don't think there's anything wrong with my process so far. It works for me, but you know, I always can improve. So I'm open to new suggestions if anyone wants to send any in to help me. The big thing with screenwriting, in my view, is getting something down. Because as long as you have something to work with, that's always worked for me. Even if the first draft is just a heap of shit.
Which it probably will be.
It almost certainly will be.
Whoever says they've written something.
Yeah, there are exceptions. I think from what I've heard, I think people like the Coen brothers and all that, and in fairness, there's two of them. They're cheap to begin with. But, you know,
they're robots.
But I think they get a fairly solid first draft. But for the majority of us, I think it's getting something down, because then you have something to work with that's not so daunting anymore.
Okay.
I find it very easy to take like a scene a day or something like that. And then I'm like, well, I just have to work on those three pages today and try and tidy that up. And suddenly it's not so daunting.
Right.
To actually sit down, I struggle with. Like, I'm like, oh, I've got to sit down and do it. But then the quicker I do it and don't think about it, the more I'll get down.
When, I guess, when you've got an idea that you want to start working on, a concept you want to develop, is it fair to say that you tend to start with a one or two sentence description that boils the script down to its essential dramatic narrative?
Well, yeah, so there's... I think that what you're hinting at is a logline.
Because I'm not familiar with this concept, so please explain.
So there's...
I mean, I've just explained it.
I guess for a better way of maybe describing it is like a DVD line or something like that. If you know, or an elevator pitch. It's the idea of being able to boil down your story into one or two lines. And it's something... Yeah, it's something that a lot of people use to pitch an idea very clearly in meetings and stuff in the industry, I guess. And it's just a really, focusing what your story is. And you do that combined with a thing called a treatment, which is like a one or two page, maybe like fuller version of the story. And there's a number of reasons you do that, probably for yourself, like to help you write the story. Because I know some people launch into a screenplay with no idea of an ending or anything in mind, but... some people like to, it can help to write the full thing out. Not doesn't have to be perfect, but a general idea of where you're heading first. And then also, I think if you're getting somewhere and you don't necessarily then have to have the full screenplay done. If anyone shows any interest in your story, you can just hand them a one or two pager. So that's quite a good thing to do. And you can always go back and revisit them during and after the script you've written. It's not to lock you into anything, but it has a couple of purposes, yeah.
Okay, all right, and we are planning to put together a treatment for the next episode.
Yeah, after we've picked our idea, that'll be the next stage to kind of write a treatment. As I say, it can change as we go into writing the script. I'm sure new ideas and new characters and variations will pop up. So we'd probably go back and rewrite the treatment at the end, maybe. But just so we know where we're heading, we thought that would be a good next stage.
Okay, so before we can move on towards thinking about the treatment, I suppose we should start spitballing some ideas across this grandiose table.
Yeah. I've got to say, though, actually, even though I just spoke about character thing, this has been coming up with just a log line from an idea has been quite a nice way to always go back to in your idea. It's actually helped. It's actually quite a helpful way of coming up with a story just based on that. I wouldn't have done it that way, to write down the log line.
Yeah.
That's actually, so I quite like that way of doing it this way. It's been quite eye-opening.
Hmm. Well, actually, before we do, the one thing that might help for anyone still a bit confused by our explanation, we did find a couple of log lines. So the first good examples from great films. So the first of which was, the aging patriarch of an organised crime dynasty transfers control of his clandestine empire to his reluctant son.
So if anyone can work out what that is, please write into us and you will win a hamper
of ideas.
Second one, the lives of two mob hitmen, a boxer, a gangster's wife and a pair of diner bandits intertwine in four tales of violence and redemption.
If you come up with the answer to that, you could win a jet ski.
Of ideas.
And then a Las Vegas set comedy centred around three groomsmen who lose their about-to-be-wed buddy during their drunken misadventures. They then must retrace their steps in order to find him. So there are a few good examples of some famous industry log lines.
Yeah.
So that's what we set out to create. So we gave ourselves a little bit of a challenge ahead of the first episode, didn't we?
Yeah.
To come up with three ideas each that we would bring to pitch to each other to try and then pick one for which to run this podcast on.
I think
so. If you manage to get through the shite we've spoken so far, hopefully this is when it starts to take off for you.
There's a film in that. There's a film in that.
Okay.
Cool. All right, Brian, then. You want to drop one on us first?
Well, I'm going to start off with one which actually came to me in a dream. And I had my phone next to me and I woke up in the middle of the night and I thought, knowing I had this objective to complete for this podcast, I thought, I'm going to write this one down. So I'm actually going to read it how I've written it on my phone. Man obsessed. No, I won't. I'll read it properly. It says, man obsessed with Richard Ayoade keeps meeting him in a dream on Crystal Maze and reliving the same fanboy moment. Maybe it's a TV show. That's it. That's all I wrote. But that was
as succinct as the industry log.
that was me at 4 a.m. going, my phone there. So do you want me to elaborate on that bit?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Yeah, well, that was the other thing, because we also said we should try and poke a few holes in these and
yeah.
make sure, you know, they're not...
No, I think we found it.
Fuck anyone else's ideas, that's the best
so
one.
So can I hear that in completion one more time,
yeah.
please?
Yeah, man obsessed with Richard Ayoade keeps meeting him in a dream that is in Crystal Maze and keeps reliving the same fanboy moment every dream.
Okay, so it's Groundhog Day... In a dream, Crystal Maze.
Pretty much, yeah.
Cool.
So,
my big question, I don't know about you, Ash. What's it about?
Really, I don't know, but I just thought it was a fun dream. But yeah, that was the idea. I mean, I chucked that one in there because whether or not it holds any weight, the point is that sometimes it is as simple as you have waking up from an idea. And I mean, in music, it happens, like the whole Paul McCartney wrote Yesterday and Paul Weller, That's Entertainment. I think he came back drunk and fell asleep and then wrote That's Entertainment, which I always think is quite interesting. But the idea of something coming from a dream is there. As wanky as that actually fucking sounds.
Nice. It's certainly the front runner so far.
Yeah. I mean, yes, I'm in first place.
It's a lead idea. So I really struggled. I really struggled with this. I'm not used to coming up with story ideas, and I just procrastinated and left it right till about 20 minutes before you guys turned up.
Solid.
And then forced myself to sit down and come up with some ideas. So apologies for the lack of preparation.
It's all right.
But so my first idea, which is half baked. Was about a guy who meets up with a group of students who are all studying some kind of medicine, pharmacy, and they have been working on this project to cure a specific disease, of which I'm very unspecific about. And then they make a big major breakthrough, and he goes to steal the idea and makes the whole group go against each other and tears them apart and then sells the idea. And makes loads of money. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. It's the opposite of a rags-to-riches story, in some way. Well, no, I suppose it is a rags-to-riches.
I was going to say, that sounds dangerous.
Exactly. Not for the guys that had the big idea. Yeah.
It sounds like a pharmaceutical social network.
Yeah, I've never seen that.
Or that one about McDonald's that just come out. It was about the guy, how McDonald's was made, and the guy came in.
Stole it, didn't they?
Yeah, nicked the idea. I quite like the idea of someone coming in and picking apart a group and taking their idea.
It was a targeted attack.
Well,
if
we were watching that, you have to have some kind of empathy with a character or some kind of relation, like. Something you can understand and you can believe in that character. So who would it be about? Would it be about someone in the group? Would it be mainly about that guy?
I think it would be. I quite like the idea of it being about that guy and him having a personal attachment to the disease that they're trying to cure. And they get there, and that's that's exciting. There's the opportunity for perhaps a relative to be saved, but then he sees it as an opportunity to be really greedy and sell the idea. So it's like goes from a high moral standpoint to the opposite of that.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I like that.
It's like has anyone seen Lorenzo's Oil?
Yeah.
It's like a dark reverse. Lorenzo's
Oil. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for years for someone to pitch me a dark Lorenzo's
Oil. Why is there no reverse? Every time I went to the video shop, excuse me, have you got Lorenzo's Oil? Yeah. Have you got the other one? You know, the dark version.
The uncut.
Yeah. The one not for aeroplanes.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Right.
We're being very polite on our first go round. Oh, so let's hear it. You do.
It's shit.
Yes.
So this,
beat me to it.
This is something that I know Ryan and I have chatted about off air at different times.
Hang on,
have
you been helping each
shit.
Other?
Not so much helping, just talking shit in our occasion over coffee about different things. And thinking there's a film in that. So I've called this one, I gave some little mini titles to try and.
You're
so
such a fucking
I've called
buff.
This one #ThoughtsAndPrayers. Oh, so I'd also go with #likes and retweets. because I know that's a similar concept. But
I know what you're about. Yeah.
So a Facebook activist is forced to live up to his empty online rhetoric when the Syrian family arrived at his doorstep following one of his sympathetic posts.
That's great.
It.
I love it.
So, game over.
To expand on that, I thought, because I know, I know we all do. We've all badmouthed them at different times. But different friends who post things that really are just an opinion on Facebook. And it does no more, no less. It's just an empty bit of typing.
Pray for my road.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's just like nothing. So I thought, actually, what if someone was forced to live up to the shit they type online?
Yeah.
And actually then, yeah, so that actually whatever happened, I guess it could be potentially a bit whimsical that, you know, he posts something and whatever way it turns out, this family comes across it and says, you know what, we'll go see that guy. He seems like he wants to help. And so he's forced to put his actions. I had ideas about whether that would lead down to that he'd actually properly then to learn about what activism means or anarchy or something that he'd like. You know, it would be the journey of him into actually doing something as opposed to talking about it. Or it could be like a fish out of water comedy,
yeah.
You know?
I quite like the idea that he would then become like a, you know, a figurehead, a spearhead for that movement, yeah. Even though he didn't want to be.
Yeah.
I think it's
or just him and his mates, like, walking around Syria. He goes back there.
Those bears all makes out.
It's just a laugh.
Yeah.
The kind of, I guess, I don't know, without being too wanky, that this kind of idea of Facebook doesn't take over.
Hmm.
You still have to actually, if you want change, because I don't know, there's all sorts going on in the world now at the moment, isn't there? All sorts.
All sorts.
But actually, people can't just keep posting about it, you know?
Yeah.
So you're saying when I overlay my profile image with, like, thoughts?
No, of course not. Actually, putting a rainbow or an object from another country,
yeah.
Like a landmark over your phone, like that's change.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not go too far.
Okay, well, good. I was panicking.
But actually,
that's like that's how things get changed.
Yeah.
You know,
look at the,
pray for that pothole on the M25,
and then the pothole's gone.
Yeah.
So, who really did that?
Yeah. I like that.
Because, yeah, I guess the other thing is he really stops conflict at the end of it all.
Yeah, or at least for one family.
Yeah. So that's round one, guys.
Yeah.
I like it.
Some solid shit in there.
I mean, I'd say that your idea, Tiernan, probably had the most fully formed log line and it had a title.
I'll take that.
That's good. That's good.
So round two, then.
So round two.
Okay.
Round two.
So this is one I was starting to write one for. This came from a conversation I was having with a guy at work about how hot it is in, but that's rubbish. Basically, the idea is, or the log line kind of is, I didn't write it down, but this is the one that's been going in my head, is a suburban, residence of a suburban cul-de-sac during a summer of a hosepipe ban turn into a communist state.
Report on each other.
All right. So, yeah. So, back in the day, or even actually, wasn't that long ago, but I mean, in the 90s, there was a lot of hosepipe bans. The most recent big one was about 5 years ago. And the council were suggesting that people knocked on each other's neighbours.
People be snitching.
Yeah. People be snitching on each other's neighbours. I mean, so, it escalates into this whole. And that's what I was going to ask you guys. Communist state? Totalitarian, is that what you say?
Totalitarian.
So what would it be? One's pretty much more the extreme than the other, right?
Good question.
I mean, that's a big question.
I mean, I wasn't expecting to be asked.
I have not prepped for this conversation.
I haven't prepped for the different types of regimes.
Yeah.
But Ryan, what's your favourite regime?
I'm pretty up for the commie one. It was the idea of that this, that it escalates into, and this how it would have different pockets of society, like, you know, as people live different walks of life in a suburban area of different families and different jobs and all these things, but it kind of had the one that struck into my head was something like the Burbs or like Straw Dogs. It was like that kind of that was what I was thinking when I was, because this idea of these people just getting to a point of like, you know, they're gonna snap and like one person says, you know, and then a couple moving in or something, and they've walked into this, like, everyone's driving Volkswagen Beetles and like, you know, or whatever, and everyone, it's, so it looks kind of Stepford Wives-y feel of everyone doing the same thing, but no one's allowed to tell on each other, so no one can change anything. And then one, it all kind of escalates into this hosepipe band.
Can you, yeah, but can you, so what, you'd hold back the reveal. I quite like the idea of everyone being really paranoid, like 1984, but then you're finding out that at the end it's just about a hosepipe band.
Yeah, like they don't want to get...
That would be a challenge to hold that off for the whole thing.
I think it sounds like a great sketch, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, would that carry for a feature?
But film? I love the idea of doing that for 90 minutes. And then at the end going, oh, I can't use our hoses.
But I mean, even if the hosepipe band was just like, it started it off. I mean,
yeah, no, that's what I think. I think there's so much to explore with that. That's a cool idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
I was thinking you could do it like Magnolia, the P.T. Anderson film, to like a multi-stranded story.
Oh, yeah.
That you're going into.
Multi-hose.
Going into. Multi-hoses. Like, all these people on the cul-de-sac are linked by this hosepipe band.
Yeah.
So you see everyone's different attitudes to it, and you see the snitches, and you see the people being snitched on.
Yeah.
And you see, like, that's a cool idea. I like that.
Oh, it's a good one.
Jeez, I didn't see a hosepipe band coming.
No, but that's, I mean, no one does.
That's true. No, that's true. That's how they get you.
I'm pretty sure the Met Office here, hosepipe band coming.
Well, yeah, probably. Yeah. Keep it to
themselves. Maybe a guy works in the Met Office.
If we turn this podcast into intricate discussions about the logistics of a hosepipe band,
we've won. Yeah. If that's where we go.
Jesus.
Winning.
Nice. All right. Do you want to go to the next one?
Yeah, I suppose so. So I was going to say that we touched on earlier about how you draw inspiration from the things around you, and at the moment I seem to be spending way too many hours a week in VR. That's what I do at the moment, and it absorbs my life. So I was trying to come up with a kind of VR-based film idea, but the problem at the moment is that there's quite a lot of hype around Ready Player One. So anything I came up with just sounded like a kind of poor man's version of that. But I had a go. So the premise was...
Don't oversell it to us. Yeah.
No, I'm
rule one of bitch.
I'm aiming low. Yeah. But then this is going to be the best idea you've ever heard. So here we go. So a group of content developers set out to create a Second Life style VR environment that in their eyes will level the playing field and give everyone the opportunity to visit everywhere and have access to all of the educational resources online. And then this platform is perverted by someone who stands outside of this group but stands to gain from having control over the experiences of everyone in this VR Second Life.
Like a puppet master.
Yeah, like someone who can control the actual outcome of each of the experiences that people are in. So it is kind of like a puppet master thing.
Oh. So he's a man playing God.
Yeah, yeah, in a VR world.
So what would be the thing? Would it be like his moral choices that he makes for each one, and the risk, what happens if he makes that choice in and outside of the VR world as well?
I suppose so, and I quite like the idea of him doing like A/B testing, so putting a group of people through one scenario and then
putting
a group of people through the same scenario but with a secondary outcome, and
like Cabin in the Woods.
Is that what they do in Cabin in the Woods?
Well, kind of, like, you know, because they've got they're trying to appease the gods, aren't they? And the only way to do that is by like a sacrifice. So they have the different countries have different ways of appeasing the gods through different monsters. So in Japan it's like a weird ghost monster thing, and in America it's like a bunch of like hicks, that like zombie hicks I've got to kill, and then another one is in Colombia is a monster. So it's the outcome of however that works.
Okay.
And in Colombia it's a monster.
Yeah. It's a big
Pokemon. Overcoming the monster. So, I mean, I think that the dangers of it is that it would be very easy to fall into kind of like a dystopian...
people love that.
Eats up fucking dystopian, don't they?
They seem to, yeah.
Yum, 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 yum. Dystopian. Yum, 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 yum.
So, yeah, that was it. And then I guess I wrote here, the story is can then develop into how it's impossible to close down this Second Life platform because... because it's cloud hosted, so it's across. It basically spreads across all of the servers, across all the corners of the world, and then this original group of people who tried to create this utopian society for people to learn in, just try and close it down, but realise they have no control over it anymore. Mm-hmm. So, like a virus.
Would you follow maybe one person's story into that?
Yeah.
Or like how, because it's such a big thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a grandiose concept, I suppose.
And if you follow one person, it's depending on what angle you see it from. Because if you see it from someone who's like a tester or something like that, someone who's like lower down the rung, you're instantly going to fall, into it. But there is the temptation of making anyone who's higher above that, who's made this test, this world, dystopian world, the bad guys. Do you know what I mean? Like, whereas if you're seeing it from, say, if there was three or four, you know, forefathers, whatever, like the ones that came up with the idea, and one of them is now trying to shut it down, or they're all trying to shut it down, or maybe it's just one person.
Okay, yeah. So, Tiernan, what's your second idea?
So my second one...
I hope there's a title.
I've called it Doing Us All a Favour.
Aren't you?
All right? And so, mistaking his parents' worries about the possible end of the world to be genuine, a young boy from rural England sets out to assassinate the President of the United States.
Love it.
Fuck it.
Done.
Yeah. Podcast over.
Yeah. So, we're on a watch list now, firstly. So once this is out there, we instantly go onto a watch list.
So, is this your idea just to get onto a watch list?
I'd love to be on a watch list.
Oh, great.
It's an unrealised dream of mine.
Oh, guys, we've missed an opportunity. Hi, everyone, and welcome to our first episode of You're On a Watch List. Yeah,
kill the President.
It's a bit on the nose, a bit obvious, but, you know, there's a lot of talk about certain... I don't know how timeless we make this podcast. Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of talk about a US president, a certain one.
Fuck you, Clinton.
Yeah, Reagan with your ghost from the past.
I think there's two things. I think it's about the way that the rest of the world looks at it. You know, because I think obviously, you know, we all get swept up in it. But it's America is a big country that has effect on the rest of us. And then there's also the you know. For those of you listening really niche, this is a day or two after Trump's speech to the Boy Scouts, where he kind of went a little political, to say the least.
Political, then told a story about a mate of his who dicked loads of money on...
yacht orgies.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you Boy Scouts don't want to know, or do you want to know? Yeah, we do.
If you want your yacht orgy badge, that's what you have to do.
I never got that.
Me neither.
Did you get it?
I tried.
Dinghy orgy.
Yeah. I mean, everyone got
that. Yeah.
Lucky
or not.
I do.
You had no choice in dinghy orgy bands.
So it on. The tab ad looks great.
But I thought, you know, there's a lot of things that get thrown out there by parents and everything else like that, a lot of stuff on the news. So it would be easy for kids to understand.
Yeah, we kind of forget about the impact
of
that.
Talk of, like, you know, building walls and, you know, banning people.
Draining swamps.
Yeah. Draining swamps, exactly. Yeah. It could be very confusing to a young person. I thought, actually...
I mean, it's very confusing to me.
If you're a young person, you thought your way of life, your family, everything were... You know, there's one man sent out to destroy that. Maybe you go on a Lord of the Rings adventure to destroy him.
I like that.
Yeah. I do like that.
So, you know,
that
was it.
Strong.
So, there's lots of because something about screening. There's a lot of you got to get in obstacles. There's a lot of obstacles in the way to killing a president of the United States.
That English kid tried it, didn't he?
There was an English guy, wasn't there? Yeah. Also, I've literally... I don't think it was a kid.
Did you just...
Is this just a news story? Just stole the
Simpsons
story
done it. Simpsons done it.
Stole the story from the news. Fair enough.
Okay, so my...
Final round.
Last one is actually a romantic... This is my bath idea.
Can I play some bath? I feel like this needs music.
It does need music. Okay. During a power cut, a wife recites the last episodes of her dying husband's favourite TV show, which he missed.
Say that again?
You ready? During a power cut, a wife recites the last episode of her dying husband's favourite TV show, which he missed. What I was thinking of was
that's
like...
heartstrings.
So, the idea goes is, this is how it came from, is that this... And actually, weirdly enough, I was thinking, what if it was the wife that was dying? But you know what? Like, it's putting yourself in a character thing, isn't it? But the idea came from, if someone was watching, say... The last episode, the penultimate episode of, say, Game of Thrones or something like that, or Breaking Bad. What if the horrible thing would be is if you died and you never got to see that last episode. So not that you'd ever know about it, but the other people that were with you would know about it. And it came from the idea that there's a power cut. Someone says the husband's got some terminal illness and he misses the program. He's tired, he's weak, he missed the program. And he says to his wife, I really want to watch it. And, you watched it, what happened? And what if the wife wasn't really paying any attention on the program or something like that? So he
how would she watch it if there's a power cut?
Well, she was watching it, he fell asleep, power cut, wakes up. So
he can't see it. But she needs to retell it, but she doesn't know it.
She doesn't know it that well, so she's got to retell
it. She has to make it up.
She has to make it up. And then the idea was how she tells the story of the. So it's kind of a bit like the, Princess Bride, meets.
Yeah.
And how would you tell that through the story that she was telling?
I was kind of thinking almost it would either be like a director's commentary or. Or they would be there, but they're telling the story. So it's about her storytelling, and then the idea came from maybe that halfway through the story, husband suddenly gets further ill, power comes back on, whatever. He ends up going back to the hospital or hospice, and then can they carry on the story? Now whether or not the turning point is something that maybe that he finds out through a spoiler, through someone on Facebook, through a message, someone going, hope you're doing well. That was really shit what happened to blah blah character, and he's like, for fuck's sake. And then but he was really enjoying her side of the story. So the idea is we don't know who's actually, you're watching the story being told, but you don't know if you're watching it live, so you're watching as if they've been transported into this sci-fi fantasy dystopian story, whatever it is. But you don't know whose side you're watching it from. So if you're actually watching it from the girl who's telling it or from the husband.
Yeah.
But basically, end up the loss of someone, I guess, or like.
Does he die at the end?
Well, I thought that. Yeah, he dies at the end, but then things come up in the story which are relevant in their life and that lot, and it's about how they deal with it. So
I can imagine that being really. I can imagine that could be really beautiful, and especially if it was something really a fantasy driven, whatever it was that he was watching, if it was really fantastic, and
yeah,
you could. I think that's a really lovely idea.
But yeah,
it reminds me, and I'm not sure if it's relevant at all because I can't remember the premise of the film. But was Big Fish
a bit like that? Yeah, yeah. Okay, but I guess that was from coming from a site. Yeah, it kind of is a bit like that. Never seen Big Fish.
I've seen Big Fish.
What?
It's amazing.
Have you seen a Little Fish?
No.
You ever seen a cardboard box?
No fish.
No fish.
No fish.
No fish tin and NFT.
That's weird. Seeing as you're family members with the Tullys, and they're quite big.
It's because he looks like Littlefinger.
Yeah,
I quite like the simple version as well. In my head, from what I hadn't fleshed it out to a feature yet, but
even as a short, that's kind of.
I mean, imagine if you'd watched all of Lost and then not seen the last episode.
Okay. Yeah. <That's right, man. laughs> But if or even like Breaking Bad or something, or the whole
it's a big commitment, isn't it, to go to a series I know a lot of people are having it at the moment with Game of Thrones, aren't they, and the books more so than obviously the TV, because the TV will finish. But I know a lot of people, and there's another sci-fi writer, I can't remember who it is, I can't remember who it is, but a lot of people are worried about certain authors finishing their series in time before they
shuffle off. Yeah.
So no, it's a nice concept.
That's my three.
Solid three.
Thanks.
I feel like, and no disrespect to the first idea, but you really took off with two and three.
Yeah. One was whack.
From your James Gale, it's lovely. Well, whack at all, but it certainly needed development.
What is the story about? I don't know. I just dreamt it. Okay.
It's Christopher Hayes.
Ashley.
Yo.
Number three.
Okay. So, this one was a bit more kitsch in my head, I suppose. So, it's about a guy who works in a recycling plant who keeps finding little plastic figurines every day. And then he slowly becomes obsessed with where they come from, and he learns all about them, and they're these Japanese characters, but he's never left the country, and he gets all of them except for a couple of them, and the only way he can complete his collection is by going to Japan to this factory, which has long since closed down, but he has to go there and it's like it's like a exploration story, but of this guy who's really only ever known working in this recycling plant and doesn't know anything outside of it.
Why don't he go on the internet?
Well, I mean, that's how he finds out that they're Japanese.
There's someone planting them for him.
Yes, I suppose so, but I'm, you know, that's up for discussion.
Godzilla.
Godzilla. Godzilla in a trash compactor. It's just popping him in.
Nice.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. So that's it. Yeah, I can just imagine it being kind of quite...
I like that. It feels like the setup. So do you have any idea where... Because I can imagine like an opening thing of he keeps finding these things, and then like the film is about like who are they, where they come from, what's... Yeah. Like, so do you have any idea of like what's the... where it goes from finding them and going to Japan maybe?
No, not really. I guess for me it was about... I liked the idea of him being put outside of his comfort zone and having to... I mean... Of all the places in the world to travel, Japan's particularly difficult, right? So putting yourself in a situation where you have to really overcome the comfort
zone. It's like a road trip film.
It's like a road trip film, but about this one peculiar guy who's...
It reminds me of... You ever see Everything is Illuminated with Elijah Wood?
No.
And he plays this guy who's like a collector. He's like he was trying to retrace, like he's got Jewish... I think this is right. He's got Jewish kind of heritage. And he goes back to Odessa. So Odessa, he ends up back in Poland eventually. But he goes through to Odessa and places like that, and then he befriends different people on the way. It ends up being about the old man that comes with him,
okay.
But it's about trying to retrace steps of his grandmother and stuff through Poland. But it's kind of like the journey version is that, because this guy clearly doesn't want to like go too far. But then you know it's also like Lord of the Rings, because you know, or no, the other one, Hobbit.
Hobbit's his,
because he doesn't want to leave, does he?
I don't think he wants to leave in Lord of the Rings either, in fairness.
No, he doesn't. I don't want to leave. The idea may not be that it's someone to teach someone a lesson. Maybe they've got, I'd like to know if they've got their own motive to try and get these pieces out of Japan to give to someone.
Or they're being sent and thrown away by someone who doesn't want to receive them.
Yeah.
I mean...
That's quite nice.
Yeah. So someone's receiving them and doesn't... want to know about their
and then it gets past, back to that story and, then,
and it always gets back to this guy who then goes and finds out about his path and this other person's past, and there's a reconciliation story, I suppose.
Oh, it could be bad though. It could end up that like all these this company that this person's sending this other people, like this guy or girl, these pieces, and they don't like them, so they're chucking them away. And they retrace the story and they find out that the fucking creator of these little toys is like Jimmy Savile or something like that. It's like, I just don't want him because there's like a sex offender attached to them or something.
Yeah, that's exactly what I envisaged. So in my head, when he travels to Japan and then he meets the Japanese equivalent of Jimmy Savile.
Oh my god.
Okay, so Tiernan,
took idea 8 before paedophilia came in, which I think is quite an achievement.
Yeah.
Alright. I mean, this is shit after that. I'm trying to work out how to get Jimmy Savile into this, but...
try.
No, so this I've called just this simply The Wall. Again, a little bit.
God, you're thinking about walls.
I know, but... So, it's set in a post-apocalyptic world where a young boy who's building a wall, a gigantic wall to separate the few remaining societies...
on his own?
No, he's one of many. One of many wall builders.
Lazy society, isn't it?
Yeah, just one dude. Yeah,
go on, off you go.
But I was going to say, it becomes about whether the wall is to separate people or, you know, are the governments, the people behind the wall, aware of something else that's now out there.
But they're not, so the governments aren't saying, we're building this wall for your protection. No one knows what the walls are for.
Well, it's, this is my least fleshed out idea. I'm not, say it's not really my genre, but it's whether someone knows... You know, and they're deliberately building these walls to protect people, but actually, like, forcing a bit of an isolationist agenda, or whether, like...
That sounds good.
Or whether it's, you know...
So how do we find out what's behind the other side of the wall?
What I think is probably going to be about him venturing out there to find out, or whether, you know, whether you work in a love interest and the girl he's after goes the other side of the wall or something, he goes off to get her.
But then that's just Stardust.
Yeah, okay, it does sound a little bit Stardust.
I haven't seen Stardust.
Have you not?
No, I feel like my contribution to this podcast is becoming I haven't seen this. Because I know as well, I'm about to reference a film I haven't seen as well, which is Monsters, which I know is set in South America, and there's a giant kind of, I think Central America or something has been cordoned off because it's now overrun with monsters.
That's right. Yeah.
So I don't know, is it too close to that? Because no. I haven't seen it. I will go.
I mean, there's not any walls. Monsters.
We don't want, veering away from it, I know we've been referencing films left, right, and centre, but veering away from that, it's interesting, the story, because if they're building the walls to. If the government building the walls for their own agenda to keep everyone in, so you're away from that other people, and then if they climb over, it's like going, "Well, shit, I'm gonna climb over the wall," and you're even more fucked because there's some fucking monster out there that's gonna do you over.
Well, I guess it's like M. Night Shyamalan's The Village. If the monster was real, and you know,
well, I'd like the monster.
Spoiler
to be
alert.
Real.
Okay,
show us in then. Emma Chamberlain, another film.
But yeah, something like that. But yeah, I feel I haven't fleshed out enough. I thought there might be something there. I thought, you know, I might as well pitch horror, something I've never done, something I've never considered doing. I thought I'd push myself out there for the good of the podcast.
But it has the feel of like a teen movie to me for some reason.
Oh shit, what's that one that's like this? Maze Runner, isn't it?
I don't know. I'm saying that.
We should also say the name of the podcast. You know, so I haven't seen
it. I think I did see that in a bus in South America, but it was in Spanish, which I don't speak.
So I mean,
I've seen the visuals of Maze Runner.
Ideal situation to watch any film.
Yeah, I've seen
if you can tell a story.
I have seen The Maze Runner and Here Comes the Boom, the Kevin James UFC film, without understanding what was happening. But Maze Runner, more than Here Comes the Boom, you needed to know the dialogue.
Yeah.
Here Comes the Boom was fairly self-explanatory. Yeah. But yeah, so I think that's three rounds. That's 9 ideas on the table.
Absolutely, yeah. Well
done. So I guess we need a kind of casual vote on it now, do we?
Shall we recap? Can we just quickly do a
each
recap?
Each person want to do, Ryan, do you want to do a 3 recap?
Yep, so I'll do a quick 3, I'll give them weird titles.
Do we want to do like break it down round by round, so each person is left with one?
Okay, cool. First one is The Rich Day Wild Day Crystal Maze Affair.
No, we're not.
I'm not offended.
I'm holding off on the vote because I know which one of yours I'm voting for.
Okay. The second one is The Residents of a Cul-de-Sac Descend into a Totalitarian... The
Hosepipe Ban.
Hosepipe Ban.
Yeah. I've got my hand up for that.
Okay.
So.
And the last one is...
A lot of cool characters and a lot of cool stuff we could do with that.
Yep. Okay. And the last one is, during a power cut, wife recites last episode.
We already have a split. Yeah.
I really like that idea.
You know what, since you're saying that, I kind of, like, I saw it as a big feature. I never thought of it as a shortened down film. And I kind of like that idea
I feel we should write the short as well, yeah.
Like, that's a good short. Mm-hmm. Like, if someone's just telling the story, and then you're just seeing, like two people act it out or something, that's kind of got a nice idea to it.
Okay, so by veto, then we're on to Hosepipe Ban.
Is my
Hosepipe Ban?
Are you doing? Yeah, you can decide and vote on your own one. If it's split, then which would you like to go with?
This is a new one. I think the Hosepipe Ban has been swimming around my head for about a month. I love this, and I'm gonna probably come back to that on a different way. So I'm gonna say Hosepipe Ban on my own one.
Okay.
So that's my one. I'm going to stick with.
Cool. Ash.
So my three were the VR kind of Second Life type story, the pharmaceutical student group that get kind of broken up by the guy who suddenly sees value in what they're developing, and the chap who works in the recycling plant who keeps finding these figurines.
I'm going recycling plant. 110%
recycling plant. Cool. That's such a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. That was cool.
All right, that's unanimous.
Cool. So, and then my final, my three were hashtag thoughts and prayers, the Facebook activist who's forced to live up to his empty online rhetoric when the Syrian family arrives at his doorstep following one of his sympathetic posts. That was the hashtag thoughts and prayers. Doing us all a favour, mistaking his parents' worries about the possible end of the world to be genuine, a young boy from rural England sets out to assassinate the President of the United States. And then the third one, the wall, about in a post-apocalyptic world, a young boy who's building a wall, supposedly to separate the few remaining societies, is forced to... I don't know, I haven't really thought... I've got a lot of
it's like that one.
Basically, is there something beyond the wall that they're not telling us about?
Love Trump.
Yeah. My politics...
Somehow Trump gets into all these.
My politics is fairly clear to see.
I'm going to wait for you to say, actually, because I can't...
I mean, the first two I really struggled to pick between.
Yeah.
Hashtag thoughts and prayers.
I love the idea of hashtag thoughts and prayers. My issue with that one is that I don't know what the lesson is to be learned.
Well, I guess it depends where we took it, the thoughts and prayers one.
And yeah, trying to come up with a fully formed...
In my head, there's a few routes it could go down. Say, one, it becomes like a bit of a genuine drama where it's like he actually is forced into doing something for real outside of his empty words.
Yeah.
And where that takes him, or whether it's more slightly whimsical, whether it's like these, you know, he posts something and magically people turn up and he goes on this journey of understanding, like
Oscar Schindler. You want to make Schindler's list for the social
retweet
media.
For Schindler. Schindler's likes.
Please call it that. Schindler. Oh my god.
The middle one, the assassination one, is, I mean, it's as on the nose as they come, isn't it? So
yeah, but there's a lot. There's a lot of road movie. You're two I like because it's a road trip. I kind of like the
it's a dark road trip.
Yeah, but it's kind of like, you know, the idea of this one, I'm gonna vote for the road trip because I think the idea of this person and how much his opinion changes by then, how much he will learn.
But it's a kid, right?
It's a kid. A kid, how does a kid get from England to America? Or is it on a state visit that's been put off for ages? It's fucking loads, and it still becomes a road trip. But if the kid's from, like, you know, like, furthest point you can get from a metropolis and, you know, some little island in top end of Scotland or whatever, in the North Sea, and then makes his way down... Because he's heard his dad or mum say, you know, he wants to drain his swamp. Some fucking shit.
No, well, that's the thing. You're hearing all these half truths these days, aren't you? Fake news, guys.
Fake news.
I kind of like that idea.
So what? We need a vote on it then. So is it thoughts? Hashtag thoughts and prayers.
That's a vote from me for hashtag thoughts and prayers.
Or doing us all a favour.
Doing us all a favour.
Oh, I didn't want the deciding vote.
Oh, you've got it. That's how this works.
You are. You could take it to the public vote. You can't take it.
No, you can't.
Vote.
We don't have time for that.
No listeners.
Zero. Dermot O'Leary to hurry you on.
Put both of them in.
Hold on a minute.
And then we defer the problem for at least a minute.
We've picked our three, assuming you picked your one. How are we doing this? Are we going to pull one out of the hat? Because we've just basically gone, oh, these are my favourite, which is perfect.
I like that we're showing that we haven't planned on air, though. That's quite good.
We could get, there's at least two more people here. We could get two people in.
Oh, let's do that. Let's do a live pitch.
Pitch the three ideas.
All right.
Yeah, let's do it.
There's a film in that. There's a film in that.
So, we're tuned back in now. We've got two of Ash's friends who we're now going to pitch to.
They're all our friends.
Our three ideas to help us decide which we should continue on with and waste our lives with. So, would you like to introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Johnny.
I'm Miranda.
We've got live pitch music coming in here. So, we now have three ideas, the first of which, in no alphabetical order, following the lives of the people on a cul-de-sac during a hosepipe ban that takes on the makings of a communist regime. Okay. I pitched that well. I don't know. Okay. So yeah, so maybe I shouldn't try and be so succinct. But yeah, so it's a cul-de-sac, English cul-de-sac. It's a hosepipe ban. It's following all these people's lives as they start to turn on each other during the hosepipe ban, start to snitch on each other, and like the whole pressure of the situation gets
nice.
So, okay. I guess examining English suburbia.
Okay. Yeah.
Nice. All right.
Then we've got a recycling worker finds strange Japanese figurines in the rubbish he's sorting through, and he starts to wonder where they're from and goes on a fish out of water journey to Japan to find out their history and who is sending them to his
way. Sounds fun.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And the third one, so a young boy from rural England mistaking his a young boy from rural England mistaking his parents' fears about the end of the world to be genuine embarks on a journey to assassinate the President of the United States.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's the three
that's
ideas.
That's the three. Right, yeah.
Now play the music.
So.
Three quite different ideas.
Yeah.
I think I'd probably have to say I'd go for the last one.
Oh.
Assassination of the President. That sounds okay. Pretty good.
You're now on a watch list. We've discussed it.
Through the looking glass.
So I'm immediately drawn to the cul-de-sac.
Oh, we've got another split vote.
This is... Because I think the cul-de-sac is probably your idea, isn't it?
Fingers have been pointed at Ashley.
I do like anything that's based around hosepipe band.
Yeah, it stinks of Little England, which is everything that you're about.
Yeah, I do love that idea.
It's not actually isn't Ashley's idea. No, that was Ryan's.
Was it?
And
Ash owns the Japanese figurines.
Yeah, so you had the worst one. You had the shit one then. Yeah. Oh, good. Good.
Okay. So we really know this pitch wasn't all through.
No swearing.
We really know close. So I guess it comes back to the three of us then.
Yeah.
So. Well, as in you've had other people vote as well? And then...
No, just the three of us, but we couldn't decide.
Oh, okay.
Shit.
So I guess we got to vote.
I think we just need to pull them out of a hat or something.
Yeah.
Well, these two were completely...
I was going to say, our first live pitch hasn't quite cleared anything up, has it? All right, so we need a decision to end this podcast, guys.
Yeah.
So it's hosepipe versus assassination.
I can't believe I've been written out.
It's shocking. I didn't know whether
kill
to go
babies,
thoughts or prayers or the assassination. I still in dilemma of it. I'm gonna vote hosepipe ban.
Whoa!
All right. So we're actually gonna go with hosepipe.
No,
ban.
I didn't, you guys have to vote then.
I'm voting hosepipe ban.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all. I mean, it's.
I think there's so many places we could go with that. I mean, one of the characters could still be wanting to assassinate someone.
Yeah, there's nothing stopping that.
One of them could work.
I think there's a lot. I think there's a lot.
One could work.
I think there's a lot of freedom.
One could be trying to build a wall from monsters.
We found the perfect idea.
One of them could be Richard Ayoade.
So, yeah, Crystal Maze. One of them could host the Crystal Maze. So,
such rich characters.
Well, that's the thing, because I think that would be fun to write. There's lots of things we can do with that within that. I think that would be good for a live read through at the end. Lots of cool characters,
yeah.
Lots of things to explore, lots of things to learn, because I suppose we are trying to learn a few things in this podcast.
Right.
And so, but then I think a good way to finish it is one of the final quotes we found,
sure.
Which was, the moral of writing is that when you're feeling very scared about something, convinced that it could be a massive disaster, that's exactly the idea you should do.
And that,
so,
I mean, that's
I mean,
perfect.
We've just announced we're going to ask people to go on a journey with us in a story about a hosepipe ban. And that's from Damon Lindelof, creator of Lost, The Leftovers, which I'd highly recommend in case you haven't heard Prometheus, and many other famous...
I wouldn't say Prometheus, that's not exactly a good...
Oh, that was all right.
We did write it.
Yeah.
Well, it still holds, I think, less anger for most people than Lost, so...
It's true.
Yeah.
So, or alien convenience.
I think it sums up the massive disaster we're about to embark on quite well.
I'm excited.
So, thank you for listening.
Thanks very much, guys. That was a pleasure.
A good evening for all.
There's a film in that. There's a film in that. There's a film in that. There's a film in that.
I think there's a film in that.
I saw something in the news and there was a film in that.